one.
I know it's confusing because we reversed the script on this.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever initiated the countdown.
I know. I was so confused by, was I supposed to say one?
Yeah, at the end. That's why you couldn't do it.
My brain shut down.
It's like you're driving in England, which is hard enough, but the shift, like it's a stick shift, and the first gear is still on the far side.
Yeah, I haven't done that, so.
No, me neither. I've only driven automatics on the wrong side.
Okay. I've never driven either on the wrong side. No, that's not true. No, I've never driven a shift on the wrong side either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very perplexing to think about.
Yeah. Great. Well, we'll all just sit and think about it.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 373 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
In snowbound Vancouver, from what I hear.
It's a frickin' blizzard out there right now.
Is it snowing again?
Oh, it's completely snowing. It's gonna snow all day today.
Oh my. We after all the shooting my mouth off about we didn't have winter. Well, we got winter this week. So we had the snow come in, and then it melted a little bit, and then the deep freeze hit us. So we're in the middle of a deep freeze right now. Like, not crazy, but sub-zero, which will be for the next little while. But I didn't realize you guys were having full blizzard.
Oh, my goodness. Looking outside the window right now, it is a blizzard. Now, today, the day we're recording this is a pro D day, so there's no school or anything, and I didn't have to work today, so at least I don't have to commute in this weather. We could hide in the house, but you'll appreciate this: we're not hiding in the house. My daughter is taking a babysitting course, so she's busy. Ooh. For the day. And my son and I, we have booked the batting cage for an hour and a half midday, which is not heated. We will be in full parkas playing baseball outside, but at least it's covered. We won't get snowed on,
right?
But we will be in full sub-zero temperatures trying to play baseball.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so there you go. So I thought you'd appreciate that. We will be doing that even though it is a winter wonderland outside.
One of the players I know the guy who runs the batting cage over there that you're talking about.
Okay.
His son's coming to play for our team this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that later. Yeah. I don't know if you know him yet. He coaches the 17-year-old team, whatever that's called. Midgets?
Sure, I don't know.
Whatever. What it used to be called Colt when I was that age playing.
Okay.
But I think they changed it to line up with hockey, so it's likely midget.
Awesome.
Anyways, under 18s. He coaches that team. So I don't know if you met him yet, but
probably. I've gone to a lot of the coaching things, so I'm sure. Right. I have, but you can tell me his name off air if you don't. Yes. Want to mention it.
Yeah. I just don't think anybody cares.
No, nobody cares.
Yeah. No, his name is Tony Fernandez.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know him.
Saw him in a Snickers commercial once.
Yeah, good call. Amazon. Click through our site and help us out. I just bought a riveting tale of it. I bought a new mouse for my computer because my old one, it just kind of broke.
Like the Apple Magic Mouse or a third-party mouse?
I go third-party. I go Logitech. Ooh. Apple has never excited me with their mice ever.
Okay.
There's never been a one where I'm like, well, you got to get that one. They are honestly terrible.
I don't have anything to compare it against because I've always used the Apple mouse. It just does what I need it to do. The Magic Mouse works perfectly for me. So I disagree with you on that front, but I don't have a Logitech comparison.
Right. I mean, for a long time, I used the mouse that came with my G4 tower, the one button. I didn't really care about the right-hand click. But then at some point moved up and I just never really liked them. So I had the Logitech, the wireless. Used to have a Logitech Bluetooth, which I thought, oh, man, that's the greatest thing of all time. And then it it went. I mean, they only last for so long because, you know, I guess I'm hard on them, I suppose.
I'm going to give Apple a pump their tires, and I'm going to go against you here. I have had this mouse since 2010. That's 8 years. It works flawlessly. It is wireless. Blam. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
So Apple sponsorship, come on this way. Head on over the two hosers. Yeah.
Or just the one hoser, because Logitech is in this house. But the point is I bought a long time ago a Bluetooth mouse. It's like, all right, that's going to free up a port. I don't want the wire, et cetera, et cetera. It was kind of expensive at the time, quite a few years ago. It broke. Went to replace it and found it's very difficult to find Bluetooth mice. And so I went and I was like, oh no, I have to get one with the little dongle. It's got a little USB receiver that you plug in. And I thought, oh no, I don't want that. That's terrible. Right. I want to free up a port. But yeah. Turns out on my station that I use at home, even though I use a laptop, I still use it as a desktop. And when I'm at home using it, I have a USB, what do you call those, splitter things?
Yeah. A splitter, I guess. I don't know. It's USB splitter?
Hub.
Yeah.
Hub.
Yeah, hub. There you go, hub.
So I have like an 8-port hub or something like that that's mounted to the back of my desk. And so this... The little receiver, the dongle is plugged in there, which, okay, fine. That doesn't necessarily, blow anybody's hair back on this story, except for I find myself switching laptops a lot. Like, I have my basic laptop, my MacBook Pro that I use for almost everything, and then I have my old one that I use for video editing because I still use Final Cut Pro. It doesn't run on the new one, et cetera, et cetera. So I will swap out that laptop.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you expand on this story?
Yeah, I got it more. Okay, so here's going back to...
I can solve your problem, though,
Steve
here.
Steve Jobs, okay,
simple,
next.
Simple solution.
Next.
Simple solution. I've got one for you.
Stop talking.
Magic mouse.
No, but see, that's the problem. That would not help. So
no dongle needed, no nothing, no anything.
No, dongle was good, dongle good. And I'll explain to you why, and I'll wrap this up really quickly because,
okay,
wow, it's getting
right.
Good now. This is what we call the big ending. This is what we're like, oh, okay. Bruce Willis was dead the whole time, I know.
Big ending, all right.
And so every time I switched the computers out, I would have to basically reconnect the Bluetooth mouse, which, you know, on paper isn't tremendously difficult, but it's kind of annoying. However, with the dongle, as soon as you plug, you switch the computer out, you don't have to reconnect the mouse. It's connected to that dongle. It just starts running on that laptop. So,
gotcha.
Point is, dongle, not only way, way, way cheaper, mouse was $15, way, way, way more convenient. Now, the issue is, like, the left-click button, I guess a spring or something in it broke. So it would work intermittently. Like, it wouldn't pop back up.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of annoying. So I kind of got around it for like half a day and said, forget it. I'm clicking on Amazon, buying the exact same mouse. Was here the next day. And here we are. It took them less time to deliver it than it did me to tell the story.
It really, the ending really paid off. So
yeah,
it's fine. I don't mind listening to the other 10 minutes because the payoff was worth it.
Oh, no, I know. But if in the end everybody says that's a great story, I'll click through their website. I think we all win.
Okay.
I'll take that Amazon money that we get and probably buy a couple of new mice.
Okay. Or just one magic mouse because they're more expensive.
No, or not bother because I'm already set.
Okay.
Already. All right. What's going on, Adam? The answer is boo to Olympic hockey today.
Yeah.
Or Canada, yay. Or yay over here in Germany.
Canada men lost to Germany. Probably nobody that listens to our podcast is aware of that, just
right.
Like about 99.9% of the world, because nobody cares about Olympic hockey in that the NHL did not elect to participate. So therefore it's a bunch of okay, they're good players or they're guys that used to be good, and therefore I never watched. I didn't care. If Canada won a gold medal, I would have been happy because I'm more interested, you know, in how we're doing as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much about the hockey, although I did watch the women's hockey because those were the best players in the world, and Canada fell a little short in that game in a shootout, which was exciting, but very disappointing.
Now, I missed that game. Did they play overtime and then a shootout?
Yep. They play full 20 minutes, sudden death, 4-on-4.
Right.
And Canada got badly outplayed in the overtime. And so they were probably happy to get it into a shootout. I thought they were definitely probably the better team in the first 60 minutes, but
right.
they just didn't generate enough quality scoring chances. And then U.S. was the much better team in overtime. And then you take it to a shootout, and it's always a coin flip. And they do best out of five shooters, and they were still tied. I think they each scored two or three each in the five. And then they go 1-1-1-1 and in sudden death shootout after that. And the goal that the American girl scores to win it is probably one of the 10 best shootout goals I've ever seen in my entire life. It is such an amazing move. She completely undresses the goalie. If anyone is even the slightest bit interested in hockey and hasn't seen the shootout winner, it's worth a watch. There's a goal that a Canadian woman scores two in that shootout that is mind-blowingly good. So the shootout was an emotional roller coaster back and forth, but Canada lost. And the part that was interesting, and this is just kind of a social perspective, so they both play the same game. They both play overtime. These two teams are as closely matched as any two teams in any sport have ever been. Every game's decided by a goal. Every game is like, you know, it's a nail biter. And the jubilation, or you know, the excitement and the satisfaction of the team that wins by that one shootout goal, there couldn't be a bigger separation between that and the absolute like tears and agony on the faces of the girls that lose, when really it's just a tie. Like, it's a tie and you have to decide it, so you might as well flip a coin. But and Canada has won a gold medal. I think it was Salt Lake. The women won the exact same way against the U.S. in a shootout the other way. So I think they've been on both sides of the coin. But man, it's one of those things where I think you kind of have a bit of perspective and just say, yeah, you guys basically flipped the coin for a gold medal. Last time we came out on top. This time you guys
did. But that's what's great, and that's kind of actually what I'm excited about. Not excited, but I'm kind of happy about the men's hockey, because it was when Canada was playing. I mean, U.S. gave them a run, of course. They were like, a run. We, you know, in Vancouver, it was basically in overtime, right? Or was it?
Yeah, it was overtime. Yeah.
So I mean, so it was close. It wasn't like Canada had a cakewalk, but the last last time it was a bit of a cakewalk. And while I like to watch all the NHL guys play, this new or not new, but back to the old format, might produce a lot more parity at a much lower level.
But oh, absolutely, it's, it does.
Likely,
yeah,
better for Olympics, but the women's,
not for viewership though. That's the problem. Is nobody,
yeah,
nobody cares, right?
Mm,
or at
yeah,
least nobody here cares. No one in North America cares.
No, everyone here cares because all the guys on my team have been, you know, sending messages, kind of mocking me somehow.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow, me and Alex, the other Canadian guy on the team, are gonna have to go public skating and just wreak some havoc. Just gonna go and just tune up a few Germans on the ice.
That sounds like payback.
Well, we'll call it. You maybe set fire to a car out in the parking lot, just to sort of smooth it over.
Yeah.
But the women's thing, though, it's funny, you know, not funny you bring it up, but ironic. Okay, timely. But not specifically that, but that whole kind of thing is kind of why I hate the internet. And why I have decided to...
What I don't understand.
I'll
what do you mean
it.
That?
Okay. I have vastly, vastly scaled back my internet presence this week. And it started before that game. And I just, for a bunch of different reasons, a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, politically and globally. And I say globally, I really mean, you know, south of the border, man. But
yeah.
A lot of what's going on, I just said, okay, I just can't be part of this anymore. And not politically, like I'm not choosing sides, and that'll be evident in a second. But what happened after that game, I saw something on one of the news stories on Fox News, did a story about that game, about the Canadian women's game.
Okay.
The Canada-U.S. final. The headline of the story read, "No silver lining. Canadian women's hockey player takes off medal after defeat to U.S." That was the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then the slug line. The Canadians, who dominated the U.S. team for much of the game, wept on the ice as they accepted their silver medals. The emotion was too much for one player, Jocelyn LaRoche, who took hers off almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That was the story.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back and said I don't want to read the news anymore, because that isn't the story. The story, and this is an American website.
Mm-hmm.
The story is your women won gold.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That is awesome. And you know what? And one of the women on the Canadian team was so devastated that she wasn't happy with finishing second. That's called emotion. That's not poor sportsmanship. She didn't throw it in the garbage. She didn't mock her opponents. Is it me? I think everybody kind of gave her a pass.
Yeah. I mean, some people, you know, didn't like it, but I again, to me, it's a nothing. It's a zero. Like, I, you know, it all yes. It says to me is that she wanted the gold, and finishing second place wasn't good enough for her, and I respect that. Now, yeah. There's a right and a wrong way, and maybe that wasn't the stage. You can go back and forth about that. It's still not a story. Like,
it's not a story.
It's not a story. Now here's the other side of this that I didn't like, because I had, you know, I work in the private sector, but I work in the public, in that I'm talking to people all day from different walks of life, and one thing obviously that's a topic of conversation these days is the Olympics, and the day after that Canada lost, like, it was kind of the hot water cooler topic. Everyone wants to sort of, you know in two cents, and all the patients that I see know that I'm a big hockey fan, and so they kind of ask, oh, did you watch the game and what'd you think? And pretty much everybody's first kind of line, like, this is kind of Canadian thinking, was, you know, did we get robbed? Did we get the short end of the stick because there was a discrepancy in penalty calls? So I want to say it was maybe 6-2 or 6-3. The first four penalties in the game were all called against Canada. Mm-hmm. Now, As I try to, as much as I can, when I watch this stuff, be an impartial observer, and I feel like I'm generally speaking, I'm going to call it pretty much down the middle. Like, I'm not going to let my team and the fact that who I'm rooting for really cloud my judgment. I think I'm pretty good at that. And my response to all of it was, yeah, well, most of those penalties we deserved. And if you're going to leave it up to reffing at the end of it, then you're going to be sad more often than not. Everyone can figure out a way to feel like their team got the short of it. And so, yeah, there was definitely calls that went against us. And you could look at, maybe there's a few calls they didn't get. But when it all came down to it, that game was played 4-on-4 in overtime. And as much as there was a discrepancy, there was a very much a call made on the Americans with a minute and a half left in the game that went the Canadians' way, that I didn't even think was really a penalty. And if it was, it could have been a penalty on Canada. But they called a penalty on the Americans with a minute and a half left in overtime and gave the Canadians a power play 4-on-3, which in hockey should be an automatic. Like, 4-on-3, you've got to score. They don't score. And then after that, it goes to shootout and they lose. And I think, oh my gosh, what a gift. They were handed the gold medal on a silver platter and they couldn't convert. So never, as a fan, even if we were in the rest of the game, there was a bit of an imbalance, it's all evened up by giving them that 4-on-3 in overtime and saying, here you go, just go grab it. And they couldn't do it. And so I hate when people make excuses and say, oh, it was this or that. And even, you know, I've heard some clip, it's in there after the first period, like one of the players was, you know, on the, like, because they do interviews and that, and was sounding like they thought they were getting the short end of the stick. I hate all that.
Yeah.
Rise above it. You know that the Olympics are corrupt in so many ways. And and again, given the opportunity, which they were, they have to win. And so I hate when Canadians kind of, you know, just sort of take a, hey, we were robbed perspective. Like,
yeah,
I never want to hear
that. I didn't
that.
See the game, but own it. But
own it.
Just to back up, back up onto why I hate the internet. The Fox News story was wild. It wasn't even so much reporting. I bet you whoever was writing the story couldn't name one woman on the female team, on the U.S. team. I bet they couldn't name one.
Yeah.
So they're not a fan. Yeah. They weren't happy. So that was the upsetting. It was just a negative. Hey, I'm just going to be outraged over this little incident for no reason at all. I'm going to just write this negative story, the negative non-story.
Yeah, whiny Canadians. Look at Canadians. They're whiny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, were you triggered, Snowflake? Like, all this nonsense, and I can't stand it. Now, to be completely upfront about it, completely transparent about it. This is not the domain of Fox News specifically. I'm not making this political. MSNBC, CNN, everybody does it. This one just happened to, I happen to see on Fox. The rest of them suck rocks too. I hate it. That's why. I mean, if you look at my, go ahead, look at my Facebook page. It's wiped clean.
Yeah.
I spent a couple of hours last week. Hey, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't make it easy, by the way, to do. You have to go in and, boy, is that time consuming to delete your content. Which I'm assuming that anybody with half a Logitech mouse can go find anyways. I'm sure it's not wiped clean. That's not my point. I just had enough. I deleted Twitter from my mobile devices. I deleted Facebook. I'm not doing that anymore. I'll still do it for the show, and I'm still in for that. I still like you people. I like the listeners. I like my friends. I still wish I could keep up with everybody, but it's just hit a tipping point, man. Where, what are we doing? How is that even a story? Why would you write that?
Yeah.
Why show the losing team?
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at too, just to kind of, you know, yes, and is that I didn't like that Canadians were like here in Canada, it was more about how we got robbed. Like I hated that, and it makes us seem, it feeds into the story like the Americans, like pointing at, hey, we're bad losers. Well, if we're saying how we were wronged, then we are bad losers.
We are, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. Now here's on a different note, and it's still sort of on an Olympic theme. Have you watched the documentary Icarus?
I've heard about it.
Oh my gosh, it's freaking awesome!
It's that good. I've heard it's amazing.
So good.
I've had it loaded up, ready to go, and thought, do I really want to see this?
Oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. It's not what you think it is. It's so good. It's like, it's, yeah, I for any listeners out there that have Netflix, if they even have the most remote interest in sort of, you know, how Russia has kind of done all their doping, the
documentary. Curling, no less.
Well, this was about everything, but
right.
But it's so fascinating, and it's so firsthand, and it's so lucky. It's up for the best documentary at the Academy Awards this year, and it is so cool. Like, it's a story that basically unfolds as you're watching in real time. Like,
oh, those are my favorite documentaries, man.
The guy that does the documentary, it starts out about him, and then he just happens to be in the right place at the right time, dealing with the right person. Uh-huh. Who all of the doping scandal involves from Russia, primarily from 2014. And so it turns on itself, and instead of being a story that was more about, you know, the filmmaker, to completely about this guy that he gets put in touch with that was basically just a happy accident. The movie would be kind of nothing if not for just being right place, right time. So if I don't want to give away too much. I think anybody, you know, again, that has a passing interest in sport, it will be thoroughly entertained by this. And the guy that's at the center of this whole scandal, who's kind of like the head head of this Russian laboratory, this Russian guy from the anti-doping lab in Russia, dealing with the 2014 Sochi Olympics, is just the craziest kind of eccentric character that is just, he's so fun to watch and listen to talk. And yeah, it's really, really, really good stuff. So I would highly recommend it.
Can I be outraged at it though?
I don't think so. Somehow,
I want outrage. I live for outrage, man.
And it's a weird situation in that you are strangely sympathetic to this character who is, again, pretty much one of the primary guys responsible for how Russia did all the cheating. And again, you like this guy. He's likable.
Stop. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it anymore.
Okay, no more. Watch it. Icarus on Netflix, not a sponsor.
I'll get my rage elsewhere. My outrage. Not my rage. Outrage.
Yeah, and just good documentary filmmaking as far as, you know, it's just well done. It's just really good.
All right, reminder, our monthly challenge, it'll be next week, but the monthly challenge is your best photo. Hashtag that.
Or any photo, right?
Or your worst, just a photo. Yeah. Just love us.
Here's the other thing. I want to put something on top of it. Yeah. I don't even care if it's in the last month.
Oh, yes.
Pull any photo that you've taken in the last, let's say, year.
I don't care if it's yours. Post one of mine.
Yeah. Post a photo. I want to see if we can get 30 photos. That's a pretty big bar.
Yeah, I think as of this recording, I think we're at around 18.
Okay, we need 12 more photos.
Well, I'm going to post 12 like right now.
And again, we don't even know if it's in the last year. It could be for us. I mean, as far as we know, it could be the last ever. So just post a photo, good photo, bad photo, phone photo, DSLR photo, point and shoot photo, something that's a photo.
Yeah. And I will take a small break from my internet sabbatical to check it out.
Okay, that's good.
No, I'm still doing two hoser stuff on the Instagram and the Facebook stuff. That's still the only reason I didn't delete my Facebook account was because I need to run the two hosers account off of that. Like that's how that works. Is you have to have an actual Facebook, and then you run like a business page or podcast page or whatever it's called. So if I were to delete my profile, that page would go away. The two hosers.
Yeah. See, for me, I don't check Facebook ever. I think I mentioned that last time. I don't use Instagram ever.
Yeah.
I will keep my Facebook for now because I have a few friends that will actually sometimes send me messages just solely through Facebook.
Right.
Or invitations to things and whatnot. And so I do tend to keep that and check it once every, I don't know, month maybe. I check to see if there's a message on there because there is stuff that pops up there, but I haven't posted anything for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's so hashtag that on Instagram, hey hosers, or hashtag two hosers monthly challenge, or any other hashtag that you can think of, Adam.
It I can't think of anything.
Okay. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
I think so.
Okay. Let's talk about yours then.
Oh, it sort of disappeared from... Oh, no, there it is. One of the guys on our baseball team, one of the younger guys, just got named to the German national baseball team.
Ooh, maybe they can beat Canada.
No, they cannot. last time, I think Canada came over and played a few years ago in the World Baseball Classic and smoked Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, in Regensburg, I believe. But kid in our team. It was named to the under-23 national team. So not the national team, but that this is the feeder program for that. So
okay.
So anyway, he'll be the newspaper, the local newspaper here is going to run a story about him, and they wanted a photo. I don't know that the newspaper asked, but I think because they would have sent somebody, but our press release, we decided we wanted to have a nice photo to put in the paper. I like to drive that ship, mostly for sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
because I convinced one of our sponsors to buy us new uniforms last year and said, let's put your logo right on the jersey. And that way, when you get in the newspaper, you get the advertising. That's how sponsorship works, Adam. And so I told it. So I made sure that I was going to shoot this profile pic, and we'll send it to the newspaper, and they'll print it. Even though I doubt they'll give me credit, I don't really care. Looks good for our sponsor. So, anyways, I went out. Even though it was like -5 degrees and there's snow almost everywhere on the field, I said, here we go. Wear short sleeves, and we're gonna make it look a little nicer than it is.
Okay.
So this is the shot of Luca.
Very orange and blue.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to kind of create a little separation. So it was a CTO in the flash, that's camera right, into an umbrella. And just let the ambient fall off into blue. Just for the little, it'll really pop in the newspaper.
Okay, it looks good. So it'll be black and white in the newspaper, you figure?
Oh, I doubt it. I'm sure it'll be color. They tend to run color photos.
Okay.
But it was kind of limited what you can do, you know, at this time of year. It's mid-February, and, with the snow on the ground, you had to find a little patch. And so I said, well, I knew I could use the screen as an element, you know, and create some negative space. And this way the newspaper can use it however they like, whether they want to run it up and down. They can crop it how they want. Or if they want to run it wide, there's enough interesting stuff there that's going to, going to fill in for it. So I like to give them options.
Sure.
Without the option of cropping out our sponsor.
Right.
In this case, Chance Natursteine.
Sure. What does that mean?
It's the name of the company, Chance. And Natursteine is like, it's natural stones. It's the kind of stuff like they granite or like they pull out of the earth, sure, and then they make paving stones out of.
Great. Yeah. Hey, why didn't you take his weird wristbands off?
Oh, he specifically put those on because he's a kid and kids do weird things.
Okay.
He specifically made sure those were in the photo. I guess they mean something to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with it. They look goofy, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess he's throwing some code at somebody.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I hear you. I'm on board with you. I'm on board. But you can see there's I snapped another photo while our head coach, Alex, the other Canadian guy, came to the park with me and was checking out the field while we were getting ready to shoot.
So you're just showing what the scenario looked like.
Yeah. He Instagrammed this from our Tubing and Hawks account just to kind of show everybody, yeah, we're waiting for spring.
Yeah. See, this is coming full circle to what I said at the beginning, which is, baseball, winter baseball. It's here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how revved up we are. It's like, I'm all done. I'm all done with hockey in winter. It's time to do something else.
That's what we feel. But we have our first exhibition game in, I guess, about 3 weeks. And it's supposed to be minus 14 for the next couple of weeks, and so that's not going to be too much fun playing baseball in minus 14.
Yeah, probably not.
So we might skip that. I might sit that one out, just drink Monte Cristo coffees on the bench, and wake me up when the season starts.
Right.
But see, the thing is with this shot here, nice shot. Although I didn't tell Alex ahead of time where he might have worn his nice sweatpants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, okay. Then shot some sledding shots. We did one day of sledding and not much snow. It snowed a little bit and then just got cold and stopped. So I kind of had to be creative. And so I shot that one shot of my kids on the top of the hill. Very little snow, just a little bit in the trees. And that's it. Not much more to talk about with that photo.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this month. This week is the profile pic. Ironic that I've decided to set fire to my entire social media. It's just kind of worked out that way. So here's a profile pic I would use if I gave a care.
Okay.
I don't want to sound dismissive. It's just me. I think I made myself clear. I'm not saying it's a bad thing necessarily.
Okay. So now let's talk about yours first.
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of the road we've gone down, right? Because do you like this photo?
No! Are you kidding me? Why would I like this photo?
But you took this photo.
Yeah.
and it looks like a fair amount of work went into setting it up.
Oh, yes, that's why I posted it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, I'm not happy with it.
So what's your emotional takeaway, because we talked about this for social media,
yes,
right? So if we're putting this up on social media, what does this say about you? As a viewer, you've never seen this photo, you look at this photo, and then what's the first thing you think about this person you don't know much about?
Hey, he should see a doctor.
Why do you say that?
Look at the skin tones. That's not flattering.
Okay, but no, let's forget the skin tones. What else?
He has pretty cool hair for an old guy.
Yeah. It's a bit of a, I don't know, like a GQ glam shot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Remember what we talked about last week? I did none of that. I did a complete 180 on all the tips that I gave last week. I just flipped it and did a 180 on that.
I just think, what a pretentious a-hole that post this picture.
Yes. That's why I posted it. I take my licks. I got robbed by the ref on this one.
I looked at this and I said, is he kidding? Is this a joke?
Oh, he's not kidding. I failed miserably. Like I I this wasn't exactly the mood here. What you're looking at is not right. what I was going for. But then when it came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to own this. I'm going to put this up there and say, I would never use this for my social media pick. Like, this is exactly what you just said. This guy is a pretentious D-bag. Yeah. Whose nose looks far larger in this photo than it does in real life.
But that's that like, to me, it's none of that. It's just somehow you managed to perfectly convey a mood that this is a photo that I can see Donald Trump using of himself.
Oh, no way. His are way worse than this. At least mine technically are good. Like, the lighting here is good.
Well, I'm just saying, not a photo that Donald Trump took of himself, but like one that he might put on the front of a magazine cover. I got to find you a comparison.
Look at his presidential portrait is what you call terrible.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Awful.
I feel like this is, there's a mood here that says a GQ magazine cover if you had a little bit more headroom and some text on here.
Yes. And you're not wrong.
That's
like,
the weird
when I was
part,
setting this up, like I was kind of going through, like, okay, what should my inspiration be? Who do I want to photograph like? And there's a photographer that I really, really like. And judging by this, it's myself. But no, but there's a guy named Dan Winters who I love his stuff. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try to shoot along those lines. But it turns out when you shoot yourself like that, you turn into – it becomes this, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of stuff here to like, just not – when you put it all together, it's like, well, that's not what we're doing.
But that's the thing, is that a lot of people with this picture of themselves – again, and I'm thinking more kind of celebrity profile stuff – would love that. This is the photo they want on their social media.
That's why I'm
which
quitting.
Is why I don't like them. Why I don't like them is that photo. Like, right away, I'm just like, I would look at this photo if this was the profile, the person would be like, well, I don't like them.
Right. I think in all fairness, I think you're taking away extra points. You're adding extra negative bonus points because you know I took this of myself. That this
right,
is just, there's
exactly.
no one to blame on this. Like, if I snap this of, you know, pick somebody, Kim Kardashian. I don't know why I picked
her.
I was going to pick Brad Pitt, but that just seemed too pretentious. But whoever, pick whomever. Orlando Bloom, he's not doing anything right now. So if I snapped a photo of him like this, you'd be like, all right. You wouldn't be as harsh on it because you could kind of put it on
all.
Me.
Yeah.
So, no, I completely, this is 100% on me. I mean, but if you think about it, like, what I've done here is it's actually relatively simple lighting. It's two hard lights, first of all. Who lights themselves with a hard light? But I did. And so there's just two lights. I picked a white t-shirt on purpose just because I don't want anything that draws attention. I kind of want it just to fade. Picked a very simple. That's actually the background. It's actually a corner, which you can't really tell, but that's kind of what creates that. I just kind of wanted a simple muted color background, and then ended up pulling some of the color. So I kind of wanted it, and even the expression is really muted. It's not smiling. It's not Mr. Cool. It's neutral. But that all adds up into this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Go check it out. Anyone who watch or listens to this podcast, this is worth, you know, seeing just so that you can, you know, potentially use it as ammo later to take a pot shot at Al.
Well,
so
I feel like I've disarmed that.
Yeah, check it out. Anyways, it's pretty awesome.
I mean, generally doing a self portrait is painful.
Yes, agreed. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Not gonna make this my profile. Or maybe I will, just to spite you. You know, there are some takeaways in this. Like maybe if the expression was a little bit more welcoming, a little warmer expression,
then it wouldn't fit with the lighting mood though. That's
no,
the
that's
thing.
True. And my skin is not quite so pallid in real life. It's definitely in the wintertime. It is in the middle of the winter. It's a little like. I usually get a pretty nice, because I swim so much, I get a very, very nice, nice brown skin and a very healthy tan in the summer. So, you know, my skin, I don't look so sickly normally,
Right.
But I did pull the color a little bit on purpose and just to negative effect.
Right.
But there are some things I do like about this sort of style. The colors, the lighting isn't over the top. I mean, it's obviously lit, but it's not like, I mean, you know it's lit. We know it's lit, mm-hmm. but it's not overdone. It's very simple.
No, it is a dramatic lighting, though. That's what yes. I mean. You don't see this kind of dramatic photo used as a, or at least I can't think of any examples where you see this kind of dramatic lighting used as a profile pic.
No.
So that's
the photo
kind
of Luca at the baseball park, much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree. But I also like the little grain I added the way I manipulated the levels to sort of kind of mute the shadows and whatnot. So there's a lot of good stuff I like here. I won't be doing this again on myself.
Okie doke.
All right. Let's have a look at yours.
Okay. Go.
Way worse.
No. I love this. I never like photos of myself. I love this photo.
You do.
For everything it says about like what I hate about the internet. Like it wraps it all up right here. Like, it's so again, the photo itself is very simple. Like this is a simple lighting situation mm-hmm. and just a wall kind of again aimed down towards a corner. So it's a simple photo, but I like it because it's explains itself. I don't need to really talk much about what I'm trying to convey here.
Right. I mean, people who do know that you're having, or even if you don't know you, they know you're having fun with the selfie stick as if.
I hope so.
Well, the mere fact that you own a selfie stick, I know it's your kids, but the mere fact that it's in your house might send the wrong message.
That's fine. I'm okay with that, yeah.
Okay. But then they got the baseball sticker. So remember I said it should tell like three things about you. Well, you did that. I did not. I told zero things about me.
like white
couple
t-shirts.
That's a valid point.
You're not afraid to own the salt and pepper hair.
Yeah. No, I'm happy there's pepper in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clinging to the Clooney, but I'm really approaching the Steve Martin. That's not true.
So anyways, just to get back to photography here, I mean, I've done a very much a tongue-in-cheek photo. I think I've made it a very apparent over the last few years of how much I am opposed to selfie sticks and mm-hmm. this kind of like, hey, look at me world that we're living in. Like, I hate taking selfies. I hate taking a self-portrait of any kind. And the fact that I had to do this, you forced me into a corner where I thought, okay, what do I do for a self-portrait? Well, I take a selfie of a selfie, and then that's what my picture is. Now, from a lighting standpoint, this is two lights, one softbox gridded that's basically the key light that's mm-hmm. camera right, and then there's a rim light effect coming from behind me, camera left. And that's what's kind of creating that edge separation between my shoulder and my what would be my right arm, the selfie stick. All of that is created by a bare flash that's camera left. So very, very simple. It's a flagged flash, the camera left one, so that I don't get any of that light on the wall because I wanted the gradient drop off. So that's
flagged
the nuance.
Mine too.
Like, so if you don't flag this, I mean, I think hopefully most of our listeners know by now that I'm not gonna get that gradient on the wall,
right?
And I really like that; it gives you the separation. I also changed the color of my shirt because at first I was wearing a gray t-shirt, mm-hmm. and I didn't like how that gray, even with the rim light, that gray on gray effect didn't look good. So what a difference. And here's another just takeaway is that just the change of color in my shirt completely changed this photo. The gray on gray was crappy in comparison to how good that purple pops from the background.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I also thought I went golf shirt versus t-shirt here because I thought, yeah, I'm going to play the professional mm-hmm. Who's really, really into himself and in this photo.
I was going to go dress shirt with a tie, but that's not me, you know, and that's not pretentious. That's not fake GQ.
And so, this is my everyday attire. This is what I would wear to work, a golf shirt and a pair of slacks. So,
and walking around with a selfie stick.
And walking around with a selfie stick. So I think both of our photos are worth a gander this week just because both they're relatively simple photos for both of us, two light setups, and you can create all kinds of different mood. And again, this is a tongue-in-cheek photo, but still, to me, it's a strong easily lit photo that anyone can do.
And the actual positive takeaway for both pictures is you'll notice that although, you know, different orientations, both of them are almost identical in terms of aspect ratio, which is they're not square, but they're close.
Right.
And both of them will work square. I specifically shot mine so that it would work square and upright.
Yeah, and I really had to, like, I probably took 20 tries at mine because getting the selfie stick angle just right in order to create the crop that would work for social media, like, if I put it too straight out, what happens? Plus, it changes, because I'm walking into this photo, it also changes where the shadows fall. Or
wait, did you not shoot with your 6D?
No, oh, I did, but I didn't bother using my phone and all that. I just
you could have used your phone as in that selfie stick and actually the stick was.
I don't actually know how the real actual selfie stick works, and I didn't really want to figure it out, so I just did a trap and I just walked into it.
Gotcha.
But basically, it's amazing how difficult to get the lighting right in this is, because the rim light and where that's going to fall and how it's going to hit the selfie stick. Sometimes the selfie stick and the phone is too dark. And so then I am like, oh, no, like the photo's fine, but I can't really tell 100% that's a selfie stick, or it's too lit. And then it's like, oh, that's completely the photo of the selfie stick. And so I really found it challenging to get the lighting just right when you add something away from your face with two lights. Like, it's almost like it would have been much easier probably with three lights to do this.
True. Yeah, one for the selfie stick in by itself.
Yeah.
All right, well, look for those nowhere. Okay.
Yeah, they won't be on social media because we quit.
Well, they will be. I will post them on our Facebook page.
Yeah, no, I know. I was,
but they shan't nice. They shan't be our profile pics.
Mine might. You never know.
That's true. I might hack into yours and I might put mine as your profile pic. There you go. That's really pretentious. That would be extra pretentious.
Sure.
So there you go. All right. Topic this week is it's called Now What? Is it? Is that what it's called? Point. How about this? You know somebody, or you know some people who have finally maybe bought, not necessarily a DSLR, but a new camera. This happened to me very recently. A girl I know here, friend of a friend, had said, you know, hey, what about this camera? Is this camera any good? And I said, well, they're all good, you know, but she wants to get into taking pictures. And so it kind of occurred to me, if you have somebody who's just wants to start taking real photos, quote unquote.
Sure.
Where would they start? Like, what would you start in terms of some advice, some tips? How do we get the ball rolling?
Okay.
So what do you think?
What do I think if someone says I want to get into taking photos?
Well, first of all, like right now, cameras.
Craigslist. Go to Craigslist.
Well, that too. Not about buying one. We went over that a couple weeks ago. But now that you've got one, you know, where do you start? Now, my whole point is that cameras right now across the board are awesome. You it's really hard to go wrong. Which means you can get by on the auto settings for most cameras. You can get by. You're not going to make it sing, but you can get by. That's not why you bought the camera. You bought a decent, halfway decent camera, be it a mirrorless, Micro Four Thirds, DSLR, whatever, because you want to get in there and go under the hood and use it yourself. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Gotcha. So we're going away from the auto. Not entirely. There's still some auto features that you can leave. You can let the camera do a little bit of the driving, but you want to focus on a few key components. Adam, where do you start?
I would, and this is what I did personally, and I don't know if this is what you're going for, but I would read the manual cover to cover. That's what I would do. That's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Why? Does that count as a one?
Yes.
Well, because the manuals are very good, or at least the manual that I had, my original whatever T2i. Or did I have one before that? Whatever my first DSLR was, the Canon manual explained a lot of the things that I might otherwise have questions about, which For example, it talked you through shutter speed and what increasing the shutter speed does. Like if you're trying to freeze something, therefore using the shutter speed, I think, and they go through, okay, there's the different modes, but they also kind of tell you how to get the most out of your camera. It explains all of the different modes on your camera, how to get to the different menus, what those different things do. And so it's just a very good sort of photography one-on-one that's directly applicable to your camera.
See, here's what I find about, like, I'm not a manual guy by any means. I do recommend that you do RTFM, though, which is how we say it on the internet, RTFM.
I don't know what that stands for.
Most of it means read the manual, but
okay.
Anyways, so I very rarely read the manual because my opinion is that if they can make the camera, I can figure out how to use it. But where Adam is bang on is that if you're brand new to this and you don't even know what your camera can do, so how would you figure out how it can do something if you don't even know that's a thing?
Right.
So the manual is going to be wildly helpful for that. That ties into my number one. The first thing I wrote down is understand the exposure triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Learn it, live it, know it. It is wildly important. Even if you just want to take automatic, like full auto, what do you call it, photos, you still should know
this. The green pumpkin.
Now, it'll do everything for you, but you're not going to get the greatest images. I know a lot of folks downplay, they say, oh, you don't need to learn the tech side of photography, and you don't. You don't need to learn a lot of it. You don't need to, there's a lot of it you can just, again, let the camera handle. But this one is important.
And I did this. I mean, the manual did not teach me the exposure triangle. There's certainly bits and pieces that, you know, you start to understand a little bit, because if this thing does one thing and this does another thing, how do they fit together? But what I did in the early going was I just went to Google and I just basically put in understanding exposure triangle, and then you get a lot of these websites that are kind of like photography tutorial sites, right?
Right.
And they talk you through it with examples and pictures, and it's very, very helpful to see it with examples and how it all fits together. And I find that wildly useful. And I think a lot of, you know, photography schools, you know, this is where they start. This is lesson number one, or at least in
fact,
the first three lessons. Yeah.
If you go back, now episode number one of our show was, hey, meet the hosers.
Right.
Episode 2, 3, and 4 were the four corners of the exposure triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So go back and listen to those shows. I would suggest they're free.
Sure.
But where I would start, and just to go down one more level, understand that ISO, shutter speed, and aperture, that's your exposure triangle. How does that all work? Go back and listen to that. Start with ISO. Episode number 2 of our show is ISO, because it is wildly important in many aspects of the exposure triangle, but it's also the most confusing, because it's kind of the inverse. It's, oh, you want faster, you want, better is lower. It's like golf. It's better. The better number is, the better is the lower number,
mm-hmm.
right? That's confusing to people. Even though if you think about it, it doesn't matter. I won't get into it. Let's just go back and listen, but understand what ISO does, what it is, and how does it affect the other two corners of the triangle? All right. What else you got?
I got nothing. Give me something else and maybe it'll stir something.
Okay, my number two, I picked three things that will get anybody on the road to photography.
Okay.
Number two, learn the rule of thirds.
Okay.
Okay, this will instantly make your photos better, whether you're shooting with an iPhone, even if you're just full automatic stuff. Just, you'll take better photos if you understand the rule of thirds. Now,
okay.
We call it the rule, and people like to say, well, I don't want to learn. I don't want to be art. I don't want to have rules. It's not really it's the rule because we like it. Almost everybody, we tend to, for whatever reason, like images that follow along the rule of thirds. In fact, if you go back to my wonderful portrait of myself and you were to check it out, you'll see that my eyes are exactly through the top third of the image.
Sure.
Like, that was very specific. I did that on purpose. And that, even though it's you know, almost a square image, I still follow along with the rule of thirds. So do that.
I've got another one. It just made me think of something.
Okay, but hang on. Is this going to tie in?
It's going to tie in as another number two for me.
Okay, so here, let me run this out.
Okay, go ahead.
Once there's a lot of other things that have to do with your basic composition in your shot. A lot of stuff. And again, it can get kind of confusing. Maybe headroom, for example. Okay? A lot of this will fall into place once you are aware and pay full attention and execute the rule of thirds. You'll start to see that your headroom starts to look good. Because that's where I find the biggest failing with images that new photographers take, is their headroom is all over the map.
Okay.
So definitely pay attention to that, but you're going to find out that it goes along with you. What's your number two?
This pertains more to shooting people than anything else, but that's pretty much all I do. So I would say if you're trying to take better pictures of people anyways, pay attention to eyes in focus. That would be an important one. And also try to shoot more eye level. I think when we start out, there's composition is one part, but also where, like, the perspective is definitely much better at eye level as a general rule than as shooting down. So, you know, I think there was a time where we all thought, oh, everyone looks a little bit better if we shoot down.
Yes.
For the most part, I think, especially when dealing with kids, get eye level.
That's
so
the big one.
You're shooting from perspective, and make sure their eyes are in focus. So if you just think, okay, pay attention to the eyes, both eye level and eyes in focus, your photos will be wildly improved almost immediately.
That is great advice. Now that is the best advice you can give a parent. I see people doing it all the time with their iPhones. We'll be at wherever we are, you know, with our kids, and there's other kids and parents there. And I don't bother. I don't get into it, but I want to tap people on the shoulder and say, bend your knees. Like, you're yeah. You're taking a photo of the top of your kid's head, and you're going to have a lot of those. They're not good. Get down here. You're going to 1,000% better photos if you squat down and with your kids.
And I even find that when I hand my camera to somebody else and like, hey, can you take a picture of us, and it's my family together or me and my wife or whatever it is, and the perspective is always shot on an angle that isn't pleasing, and I'm always like, you don't want to coach up the stranger that you've asked to take your photo, but I'm always thinking, like, if I take a picture of you and then you take a picture of us and I show you the difference, you're gonna and all I've done is bend my knees that little bit, you're gonna like the photo and the perspective far better just from the one I took, and all I did was get down 12 more inches.
Correct.
So there you go.
Good tip. All right, my third one, and this one again is I'm oversimplifying, is step back and zoom in when you take pictures of people.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, use longer lenses. That's what we want to do. So I typically don't use a zoom. I do have one that I will use, but point being, the longer lenses, step back, people will look a lot better. Now, you don't always want to do this. We'll get into this in a future episode, but there's a lot of factors going on here, a lot of stuff that you need to go back and learn. My first tip, the exposure triangle, first before you use this, because it will factor in. If you're using a long lens and you're at, you know, shutter speed of 1/10 of a second, you're not going to be happy. But, of course, you fully understand the exposure triangle by this point, so you can go ahead and do this. Step back, zoom in.
Again, great tip. I mean, yes, everything looks better from this vantage point.
Right. Do you have a third?
This is kind of more general, but I think it's, again, when I look at most of my photos and the photos that, you know, I really have loved over the years, there are a lot of photos that are sort of the in-between moments. So I think everybody wants to kind of like take that photo of their kid and it's like, oh, hold up your cookie or your medal or whatever it is. And it's so posed and artificial. And you'll see that, you know, with time passing, those photos are not the ones you're going to probably want framed or to display. It's those candid or in-between moments. So even if, you know, hey, my kid's getting a medal, don't wait for him to get the medal and say, all right, look over here and smile now. Like, shoot it as, you know, he's getting the medal put on and looking up at this person. Like, the candid in-between moments are, again, this is a generalization, but are usually better and more interesting. And so, and yeah, I would just say shoot more of those. And even if you're doing a photo shoot, you know, for other people, it's just take some of those clicks of those little in-between moments. I think you'll be surprised to find how many of those are keepers.
Yeah, for sure. And then just to tie it all together, to tie everything that we said together, here's a bonus one. Wasn't one of the numbers. Embrace failure. You're going to fall down, especially at the beginning. You're going to take a lot of bad pictures. Keep doing it. Share them. Don't be afraid to share them. Hey, I'm not this week, evidently. But as I explained to my son, and I take my kids skating, right? And my son's 4, and he's still learning. He's still learning to skate without any aid, like the penguin here, or the cart, whatever you would want to call it back home. And he falls down. And he gets a little upset, and Daddy, I fell, Daddy, I fell. I said, you're gonna fall. If you're not falling, you're not learning. And you're gonna fall 10,000 times before you're a good skater. It's probably gonna happen. I don't know if it's 10,000, but it sounds very Malcolm
seems
Gladwell.
Seems high. That seems high.
It's a Malcolm Gladwell thing. All right? Not a sponsor, but okay. But you're gonna fall. You're gonna fall a lot. And that's what happens. That's how you learn to snowboard. That's how you learn to do everything, and that's how you learn to take pictures, is you take bad ones. Try to take good ones. Don't be afraid of the bad ones.
Yeah, they're bound to happen.
Now get out there and start taking them, man.
All right.
Photo challenge for next week. It is our monthly challenge, as we mentioned earlier.
Anything.
Yeah,
post anything.
Something.
One thing of anything from whenever, anytime.
Doesn't even
anybody's
have to be
photo.
A photo.
Your neighbor's computer. Go get a photo from him.
Doesn't have to be a photo even. Something you drew. Can you do
a
that?
A photo of that, though. A photo just of something you
send
drew.
Send us a text describing something that you drew.
Or something that you might want to do someday.
A motivational quote.
Sure.
Put that up there. It's getting pathetic at this point.
Yeah.
We're
just 30 somethings. That's all we're after.
I feel like the Instagram refs are out to get us.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Probably it. Anyways, hashtag that hey hosers or hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. That's it. And we will check those out. We'll talk about them next week on the show. I mean, if we get a whole lot, we might just blow through them. We might ignore them altogether. But please get them up. Some people have been posting them after we record. So I've been scheduling our recordings to be after the end of the month. So, for example, next week we'll record on February 30th, which is March the 2nd.
Right.
And so we will have closed by then. If you post after that, we're not going to see it.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see it, but we won't talk about it.
Ample time to send us a text or post anything that they've ever taken.
Agreed. All right, okay. So do that. All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, and still on the Two Hosers Instagram and the Two Hosers Facebook. That'll all still be there.
Okay.
And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.